Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's great to be here. You know, I feel very welcomed in coming here. You know, really, I feel like I'm part of you guys, whether you like it or not. So, yeah. Sometimes I try to remind myself that, you know, this is my first time, and so that I can act that way, but I forget. I figured we're all going to be together forever anyway. We might as well start getting used to it. Even the ones you don't want to be with. I remember years ago, I used to say to a sister of mine that went on to be with Jesus, she had got upset with me, and she looked and she was just fussing with me. And I looked at her and I said, get used to this face, you will see it forever. So you can say that to each other, you know. Amy, I want to thank you for just how grateful you've been in helping me this morning, and just the beautiful smile you have. And Clint, you know, he talked to me on the phone, and Pastor Gary, you guys have been just beautiful people for me, you know. So I just want to say that to everyone here. Vineyards Church has a very special part in my life. I told Pastor Gary this. It was at a Vineyard Church that this was prophesied over me years ago in 1990. Didn't happen until 2016, but it was prophesied that this would happen in 1990 over my life at the main church there in California. And Clint, I have to disappoint you. I'm not a Virginian. And I was raised in California. Okay. I was raised down in this valley, little town called Atwater. Dad was in the military, and we got stationed there years ago. My mom still lives there. And I have three brothers that live in the area and lots of nieces and nephews. So just to let you know, I got roots here in California. We have books out on the table back there. My father told me, when I say my father, I'm talking about my heavenly father, okay? But he told me that if you want a book, it's $5. So all the books are $5, no matter what it is, okay? And today, he's never told me this before, except for the Spanish book. That's free. Do not pay for this book. You can take it. I'm going to leave some, but this book you do not pay for. Okay? I hope you guys are listening. Because sometimes people, I'm going to give any away. No, obedience is better than sacrifice. Remember that. Okay? So if you want this book, it's in Spanish. It's just the In Heaven book, the main book. But do not pay for it, all right? And then, you know, this book here, if you pay $5 for it, take another one. So you get two. Lord never told me to do that before. So I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, God. And I know some of you say, well, I know it costs, but Lord takes good care of me and my wife. I try to get my brothers and sisters to understand if he wants it done, he will provide. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to try to scheme. God knows. He wants it more than you do. So I was going to give these to back there. Judy, is it? In the back. These are her books, really. I just got them off the table for her. But so, you know, I got a few minutes up here. This afternoon, I'm not trying to keep you in service for this afternoon, but me and Pastor Gary's already talked about this. I'll do a presentation, and then I'll take question and answer this afternoon. So if you want to stay around and ask me questions in public, you can do that. The longest I've ever taken question answering is 6.5 hours. Yeah, but you don't have any teenagers in here or kids, and they're the ones that do it, and they ask the best questions, I'll be honest with you, you know. You saw the video, that was put out by the 700 Club a few years ago. Before they even did it, they vetted me, they checked all the records, they looked at the medical records, and everyone that looked at it said, you died. You heard the doctor, that was the doctor that was actually in the room, Dr. Rigge. I used to live in the state of Washington, lived up there for 30 years, that's where this took place. He was rated in the top 10 doctors in the state of Washington at one time. And he was rated the number one patient care doctor in the state of Washington. So that's someone that's credentials are very solid. And you heard his statement. He said the man was what? Really, really dead for a long time. I always tell people I didn't know you could be really, really dead. I thought you just died and that was it. You know what I mean? But So I can prove I died. That's the easy part. Everybody's looked at all the information, said you died. You know what I mean? I had a kidney stone that was stuck on the right side. It caused a kidney infection. They gave me antibiotics for it, but they didn't go back to see if the antibiotics did what it was supposed to do. I was the one person, or 1%, they say, that resisted that medicine that they gave me. They went ahead and blasted the stone. They opened me up, and they, bam, the infection went into my body, and I became what you call septic. And everything in this body started shutting down. According to the medical records, 29 different things went wrong with this body. But you know what God did? He healed all 29. And I like to say it this way, and he didn't leave a residue. You know what I mean? I'm not on no medication for it. I my kidneys have stopped. They put me on dialysis. I got off of dialysis. I'm telling you guys, that's your God. You know what I mean? That's your God. A lot of times people say, we love your testimony. I say, it's not my testimony. It's his. I just get to tell you about it. And if you think about it, every testimony you ever have, even in your own life, is his. He did the work. I always tell people, I just laid there. He did the work. Is that good news, you guys?
Yes.
You okay? So I can prove I died. That's the easy part. You know, 1 hour and 45 minutes, that's what the medical records say. That's not me saying that. That's what the medical records say. But I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. So when I left my body, I went where Christians are supposed to go. It's not unusual that Christians go to heaven. That's what happens to us when we leave our body. Coming back, whole different issue. Okay? And don't think I wanted to come back. If he would have asked for volunteers, I wouldn't have came. You know, everything's right there. There's nothing wrong. It's past peace. There's nothing to be peaceful from. And guess what? You fit. I didn't get up there, and all of a sudden they said, hey, you just came from the earth. There's 14 days quarantine over there on the side. You know? They didn't do that. When I got there, everything was right, and I fit. I came to understand something. The reason we don't like what's going wrong is because we were created to be in rightness. Not rightness according to how I say it's right, but according to how he says it's right. Is that good news, you guys? So I just share that with you. A little boy a few years ago came up to me one time and he said, you died? I said, yeah. He said, you went to heaven? I said, yeah. He said, you came back? I said, yeah. He said, sorry. He got it, you guys. This place got issues. And the number one issue for me is death. We were never meant to be separated. I'm just telling you that right off the bat. So here I am. I died. I went to be with the Father and Jesus. A lot of times when I share, I use a lot of scripture. I tell people that 99% of everything I experienced when I was with the Father and Jesus, I can find in the Word of God. I'm just letting you know that. It's in the Word. Okay, I have a book out there called In Heaven. You can read it, but the Word has more. And so I use the Word a lot of times because I'm trying to describe an eternal place and a temporal place. And even if you look in the Bible, most of the time when they're talking about spiritual things, we miss this word a whole lot. They use the word like a whole lot. They don't say this is what it is. They say it's like this. So if I can give you a scripture, then the Holy Spirit on the inside of you can take you further. Do you guys hear what I just say? It's not to prove I'm right. My rightness don't get you in. Jesus does. You guys hear me? Yes. You know, and you're going to find out when you get there, you were wrong about a lot of things. But what got you in was Jesus. You guys got to grab what I just said there. You know, because sometimes we want to be so right. Do you understand what I mean? And other people be wrong, but the reality is he's the one that's right. Is that good news? So I use the scripture a lot of times. One of the scriptures even was covered this morning a little bit, but I'll go into it. And it's found in John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 6. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you shall be also. You know why I went to heaven? Because he said that's what's supposed to happen to me. I didn't go to heaven because I believed I'd go to heaven. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. You born again, you going any old way. And I get to share with everybody. When you have this type of testimony and this type of record, everybody wants you to come and share. Because everybody on the planet, sooner or later, is going to leave their body. I'm serious, you guys. So I get to go to every denomination you can think of. Well, there's one denomination I haven't been to, and that's Mennonites. I've been to the Amish. The Amish wanted me to come, you know, the buggy people, you know, and share. And I got to share with them. But the reality of it is, it's about Jesus. It really is about Jesus, you know. So I always tell people, you can say, I don't believe that you die and you go to heaven. That's okay. You go anyway. If you're born again, know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit reside on you, you're going any old way. When you get there, you can argue with them all you want. But you're going to be glad you were wrong. You know? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is not a belief system. That's the way it is, whether you believe it or not. Your belief system didn't have this come into reality. That's the way it is. There's only one way to get to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. Somebody may say, well, just that's kind of your belief. You'll find out. I don't have to argue with you. I have to debate you. You're going to find out. Everybody, my Bible even says this, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It didn't say some. It didn't say a few. It said what, Clint? Everybody. It's better you find out here because there it's too late. There's a number of things that I can talk about today. You know, Father always tells me, I want you to emphasize something. You know, I can tell you what it's like to be healed of all 29 different things. Everything, you know what I mean? He didn't just he healed everything, and he didn't leave a residue. That's why they called me the miracle man. They look at the records. They saw how bad it was. You know what I mean? Someone said, well, it wasn't 100%. What do you call being dead? I was clinically dead. My heart and my lungs stopped. That's what they diagnosed me as, being dead. So you want brain dead. I found out if you lose oxygen to your brain from 5 to 8 minutes, it's gone usually. And we're talking about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Scientifically, I should not be able to talk to you. You guys getting this? I know we hear follow the science all the time, but your God is past the science. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Because someone boxed you in with the science. And you got to know that your God goes outside the science. Is that good news? Yes. You know? So here it is. Someone said the other way you could be biologically dead. My toes had died because I didn't have oxygen or blood going to my toes. They were supposed to cut off all 10 of my toes. When I got back home, my wife started praying over them. I was praying over. She had it in hot water. And we literally saw all the discing come off to my toes, and I had brand new toes. I don't have to exaggerate, you guys. This is not an exaggeration. Do you guys hear me? This is your God. This is what he can do. Is that good news? So I can talk more about that being healed part. My wife is the main reason that I was healed. You know, I just didn't come back in my body. She wanted to make sure that everything in this body was taken care of. I call her the general. If you came to the hospital and you were going to pray for me after this happened, you know, because I was in ICU, she would screen you. She would vet you. And if you didn't believe I could be healed, she didn't want you in the room. People would come in, they start telling their hard luck stories. You know how people give you a hard luck story? And she'd say to them, visiting hours is over. She wouldn't even let them in the room. Some of you need to start telling people, visiting hours is over. I'm serious. You're believing God for something, and you got people coming in your life and giving you doubt. You need to look at them and say, visiting hours is over. You know? Did it offend them? Yes. Did it make them mad? Yes. Look at the results. Look at the results. You know? I should have brain damage. And my wife told the doctor, didn't tell him that she's a Christian and they don't know what they're talking about. She just said it doesn't have to be that way. You guys got to grab what I just said. I know what this says and that says, but you have a God that says it doesn't have to be that way. Somebody in this room, you're in financial trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't have to be that way. You wanted a word from God, you got it right now. It doesn't have to be that way. He's got a way for you to get out of that trouble. You just need to do it his way. Somebody better hear what I'm saying. You know? So that I could tell more about that. I can tell you what it's like to die as a Christian. I love to talk about that. That's one of my favorite areas. Because I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't that bad. You know, most people think when they die, it's going to be really bad. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I suffocated. My lungs were the first to go. It was the worst death I could have experienced. Why? Because, I'll tell you the truth, I almost drowned as a little kid. And I remember gasping for air, and I never wanted to experience that again, and I was traumatized. And even after I became a Christian, you know what I mean? I used to go to God and say, if I'm going to die, don't let it be suffocation. Do you guys hear me? And here I am suffocating. And I can remember when I realized I'm dying, I said, I am dying because I can't get the air. I went in for a kidney stone. Kidney stones don't kill you. You understand? You feel like you're dying, but you ain't dying. Have you ever had one? You know what I'm talking about. And here it is. My lungs are not operating. I'm getting less and less air. I'm getting ready to suffocate. And I say to myself, I am dying. And all of a sudden, what rose up on the inside of me were these words, I'm going home. Joy, peace came all over me, you guys. I'm just letting you know. Is that good news? Whether you realize or not, you've been prepared. You don't have to fast a lot to be prepared. You don't have to read your Bible to be prepared. Because you were born again, you've been prepared. The other thing is, most of us don't realize it. It isn't that the body dies and the spirit leaves. The spirit leaves and the body dies. Sometimes people say, what was it like to die? I say, I don't know. I wasn't there. That's because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse says that when he died on that cross, he died your death. You can go there and you can read it. It says that. The 14th and 15th verse says that the reason he did it is so that you don't fear death. Amen. You know, I do that a lot because the flag man, you know, the guys on the road or the women on the road, you know, they flag you down to slow you down so you can, you know, be cautious. I do that so that you can slow down and really think about it. When I used to have my Fitbit, it gave me points. It don't give me points. Don't give me no more points. I can move around all I want. This Apple said, no, you ain't exercising. We know that. You know. But I'm just sharing that with you so you understand, you guys. I love sharing that part, you know. I know people want me to talk more about heaven and things like that, but I'm thinking, you got to understand, we got a whole lot with that package that we did not know we got, you know. And someone said, well, I don't know about that. The Bible says faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. That's found in James 2nd chapter, 26th verse. And if you don't believe that, go to Genesis, the second chapter. What did God have to do for man to become a living soul? He had to breathe into the body. It's right there. Is that cool? Is that cool? It's in the Word, you guys. I experienced it. I left my body, went to be with the Father and Jesus. How long did it take for me to get there? To be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord. Faster than you can blink. You know? And I don't tell people that so that you know how fast it really is to get there. You're not worried about it when you leave the body. Someone said, did you look back? What for? Well, did the angel tell you? I said, well, if their angel was there to take me there, I left that angel behind. I knew how to get there. You have the GPS on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get there. Is that good news? You don't need no guide. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You know? But I'm not telling you that so that you know how fast you get there. I'm telling you for this next reason. Here I am leaving my body, going to be with the Father in Jesus. And all of a sudden, I notice on both sides of me these lights passing me by. You know what they were? They were the prayers that people were praying for me and others. How fast was I moving? To be absent from the bodies, to be in the presence of the Lord. And yet the prayers, if you would have gave me a head start on that day and started praying, your prayers would have beat me there. Yes. You guys got to grab this. You know? And why is that? Because you were created to talk to God. Most of us don't realize that. That very mouth was created for one reason. That very voice was created for one reason first, and that's primary to talk to God. Go to the 2nd chapter of Genesis. Read it. God gave Adam a mouth and a voice, and Eve had not come into existence yet. And it wasn't to talk to the animals. It was to talk to him. You know? Whether we realize it or not, this mouth was made for one reason first. Secondary is to talk to him. Secondary is to talk to you. Primary is to talk to God. Why wouldn't your voice beat me there? One thing I like to say, I'm not going into more detail. I could talk more about prayer. But one thing I like to tell you is your prayers don't have a shelf life. There's no expiration date on them. Many of you are in this room because someone prayed for you even centuries ago. Is that good news? You say it's the favor of God. Yes, it is, but he's answering prayer. Because grandmas prayed for generations. Amen. I'm just letting you know that. You know, many of us don't realize that. You know, Where's that found in the scriptures? You know it's in the Word. You go to the Acts, the 10th chapter, you have this man named Cornelius, an angel shows up, and he says, your prayers and your good deeds are memorial before God. The word memorial means what? Remembrance. Some of you need to build a bigger memorial. You need to spend more time with him. When I entered into heaven, everything there was glad that I came in. Everything. Everything was glad to see me. I'm going through this really quick. I usually go into more detail on some of these things, but God wants me to share something. I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking, I got to get to what he wants me to share. I'm going to be in trouble. I still get to go to heaven. I always tell people, don't get you in and don't keep you out. Is that good news? Jesus does. Do you know how free we really are? You know? He wants you to serve him, not because it gets you something, but because you love him. That's why he wants you to do it. So here I am entering in. Everything in heaven's glad I'm there. Everything. It was like Jesus Christ literally went before me and announced I was coming. But he didn't do it the day I was leaving my body. He did it the day I accepted him as Lord and Savior. Whether you realize it or not, you've been announced. All of heaven is looking forward to you being there. Is that good news? Now, I'll be honest with you, when I got there, I just didn't go to heaven because I wanted to go to heaven. Really, to be honest with you, it wasn't heaven at all that I wanted to go and be in. It was Jesus I wanted to be with. Most of us don't realize it's not a place you want to be in, it's a person you want to be with. That's what's drawing you. Most of us, when I used to say I was with the Father and Jesus, and people said, weren't you in heaven? I'm thinking, you don't get it. Heaven's not heaven without the Father and Jesus. You remove them from heaven, you have no heaven. And someone said, what about the Holy Spirit? He's on the inside of you. Whether you realize it or not, he's with you forever. You might as well get used to it. Some of you are seeking him out here. He in here. You know? Sometimes people say, I don't feel close to God. He's on the inside of you. How much closer can he get? Seriously, think about it. Hope you didn't hear that. He's on the inside of you. Hope you didn't see that. He's on the inside of you. And if you mess up, he said, all you have to do is confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Get back to work. I could go on and on. When I saw Jesus, I did exactly what the Bible said you're going to do. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know we got the song, I Can Only Imagine. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says you're going to do. You're going to bow. Because you're before your Lord and Lord and King of Kings. You know, even in the presence of him, when he's in this room and you feel his presence, what do you want to do? You want to bow. I know we raise our hands, we do this, but you know you want to go down on your hands and knees. That's our natural position when Jesus is around. You know? I'm on my hands and knees. And on the other side of him is my family. My grandmother Mary was out front. You know? The reason I believe she was out front, because she's the one that prayed me into the kingdom of God. I wasn't raised in a family that we went to church at all, except on Easter. You know how that is. You know, we weren't Christians. We didn't do that on a regular basis, but my grandmother was, and she prayed for us. And I remember accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, knowing that she's the one that prayed me into the kingdom of God. She died 3 months later, so I never got to talk to her. And I always thought to myself, if I ever see my grandmother again, I want to give her the biggest hug. And there she was on the other side of Jesus, you know. But what got me was there was behind her were other relatives. Some of them I had been on the planet with. But it was generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. I could keep on going. My entire family in heaven came to greet me. I didn't know it was going to be that way. If you would have asked me before this happened in my life, I would have said, no, we're all the family of God. It really doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you right now, it does matter. You know, you are the family of God. Don't get me wrong. But you have your family that's there, and they're going to come to greet you in. What did they look like? They were shiny. They had a big smile and pure joy. You know, why did they shine? Because Jesus Christ was shining out of them. Why they had pure joy. The best way to describe joy is when you become born again, you remember the joy you had? Or if you had a child for the first time, remember the joy you had? Somebody getting it? You know, that baby, you hold it, and often there's great joy, but then it leaves you after a while. As they get older, you know the joy. And if they really get older, It really starts, you know. And then they have a big smile. Why were they smiling? Because they had no worries. You know you're in heaven when your entire family's getting along and smiling. you know you're there, you know. You know, and there they were to greet me in. Family is important to God. Genesis, the first chapter, tells you that. That's when family was brought into existence. And you were created to be with your family forever. Some of you right now are thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be with my family forever. They're okay. They are right. You are right. You get along with them. They get along with you. They have no more issues. You have no more issues. You literally get to experience family the way Jesus wanted it to be. You know? You got to grab what I'm saying here. Someone asked me one time, were there family members that you thought would be there? That wasn't there. I didn't think all those people would be there, you guys. I had one Aunt Barbara that was there. I thought she was in hell. I thought she was in hell. But she was in heaven, you guys. The only way you get there is through Jesus Christ. One person asked me one time, well, when did she accept Jesus? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know when she accepted Jesus in her life. Came to understand something. It didn't matter if I found out. It mattered if he knew. Yeah. It comforts us to know it. But we don't get them in. Jesus does. And as she was saying earlier, that thief on the cross, he looked over at Jesus. He said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. You know? And he said, Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. You guys got to get this. I'm getting ready to tell you something. It may break some religious thinking, but hear me out. It's awful hard for someone you're praying for to go to hell. They're going up against God Almighty. He wants them more than you do. You sent God after them. Did you hear what I just said? And he's not going to give up on them. Even at their last breath, he's going to make sure they have the opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior. Many of you are going to enter into heaven. You're going to see people that you didn't think were going to be there. And you're going to say, wow, you made it. And they're going to look at you and say, wow, you made it. It's all about Jesus. There's a lot more I could share, you guys. You know what I mean? This is the time I have. I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to come up here. There may be something this morning that really touched somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. You may be in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you're saying, this really hit home. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to coax you into something, but I'm going to tell you the facts. The reality is there are family members in heaven that if you don't become born again, you will never see again. And I can tell you what my grandmother Mary said to me when Jesus was saying, no, it's not your time, go back. She said, bring as many of us back with you as you can. Your family there is literally asking everyone in this room that's born again to do everything they can to get their family there. And some of you say, they won't listen to you. They don't have to. You can pray for them. God will go after them. He wants them more than you. But if you're in this room and you've never made that decision and you're thinking, I need to make that decision right now, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you need to make the decision. If you made the decision but you're saying, man, I need to do better. I need to do better for my Lord. You know, sometimes we call it coming back to Jesus or something like that. Sometimes we go to church for a long time and we're not doing it his way. We're doing it our way. But you're saying, I need to do it his way. If you're in this room and you're starting to say, I need to do it his way, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. We want to pray for you. You put your hands down. This was covered earlier. But the biggest hindrance for us that are born again is not forgiving somebody. When we don't forgive somebody, it's like a chain around our ankle with a ball on it. And we're dragging it, trying to do the things that God wants to do, and we're dragging it with us. God wants you to be free of that chain and that ball. But the way to do that is to forgive. And I always tell people, you can forgive somebody. It doesn't mean you have to put yourself back in the same situation, but you can forgive them and move on. If you're in this room and you need to forgive yourself, sometimes it's just our forgiving ourselves, or to forgive somebody else, raise your hand. We want to pray for you. You can put your hands down. And the last area is you need healing, physical healing in your body. God healed all 29 different things in my body. There's some of you that are putting up with things because you say, oh, I'm just getting old and that's just the way it is. You don't have to. I'm telling you right now, you just don't have to. You can if you want to. You know, it won't keep you out of heaven, but I'm telling you right now, you just don't have to. If you're in this room and you need prayer for something to be healed, we want to pray. Raise your hand. You can put your hands down.